Good morning. I'm going to move this back because I like to move around a little bit. Careful, that's all right. Well, as Dave said, Pastor Fred and Terry are on vacation up in Michigan enjoying their kids and grandkids, and that's well-deserved, and we're happy for them. And so you got stuck listening to me today. So we're just coming back from vacation. We've been gone the last couple weeks. It is weird not to be in your home church, you know, on your way. And so I'm glad to be back. This shirt has to do with the sermon today. It's not just me refusing to let go of the vacation mindset, though that is a hard thing to do. You know, when I haven't put on pants for a couple weeks. Now, I've worn shorts. Don't think that the wrong way. I've had shorts on, but I haven't had long pants on in a couple of weeks. And, you know, sandals. Yesterday I put on tennis shoes for the first time in a couple of weeks. I love vacation. Vacation is great, isn't it? Vacation. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? Anybody? Yeah, a good number of hands, all right? I'm telling you what, it is an incredible, awesome way to experience vacation. It is so much fun. I really hope that if you haven't, you'll have the opportunity someday to go on a cruise because they are so incredibly relaxing and nice. I mean, you go on a cruise and you don't have to do anything. I mean, they cook your meals, they make your bed, you just kind of walk around and enjoy. It's all about being pampered, and it's wonderful. I like to be pampered. Anybody else like to be pampered? Yeah, that's right. It's awesome. We've been on three short cruises. 8 years ago, 2010, the staff in the church and some other people in the church, we went on a cruise in January. Down in the Caribbean, we left out of New Orleans, went to Progreso and Cozumel and back to New Orleans. The only problem was the Caribbean experienced record low temperatures that year. It was so cold on the ship. You couldn't go swimming on the ship. It was too cold. And it was early January. The college national championship, the football championship was being played. And so they had this huge screen. And so we asked if they would, you know, put the national championship game up there. And they said they would. But we're out there. We have sweatpants and sweatshirts and blankets. I mean, we are sitting in the lounge chairs all bundled up and then just trying to watch the game. It was so cold. And so that wasn't a real good experience. But then a couple years ago for our 20th anniversary, Roxanne and I, just the two of us, went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and it was in the summertime. No chance of being cold there. And so it was just wonderful. It was so relaxing. It was so nice. And our kids wouldn't talk to us for a long time because we didn't take them. And so last summer we did essentially the same cruise, and we took them, and they had a great time. That was probably the most relaxing vacation I've ever had. Every night I'd go up, all the party stuff's happening by the pools in the middle of the ship. I went up to the front of the ship, and I would sit and read for like 3 or 4 hours every night. It was just so relaxing. And out at sea, there would be storms. Every night there was a thunderstorm. We didn't go through it. It was off. I mean, because when you're out there at sea, I mean, you can see for miles and miles. And so you'd see these lightning storms off in the distance. It was really cool and just so relaxing. I love taking cruises. I hope that we'll be able to do it. I'd like to take a week-long cruise sometime. I think that would really be relaxing. We haven't had a chance to do that yet. But the title of my sermon this morning is Our Church, Cruise Ship or Battleship. That's why I'm wearing the shirt. Cruise ship or battleship. And we got to look at and see what it is that God has called us to be and what kind of church that we want to be and need to be. You see, some Christians, I think, view the church like a cruise ship, offering Christian luxuries for the whole family, sports, entertainment, childcare, business networking. Does it have good facilities? Pastor preach funny, time-conscious messages that meet my needs? Do I like the music, right? And so we kind of look at the church like that. If the church ever ceases to cater to my preferences, well, there's plenty of other cruise ships in the harbor. There's plenty of other churches out there I'll go to. Cruise ships exist for people to get away from responsibility and the stress of life. And it's great. It's glorious. And they offer all kinds of programs, I mean, and activities, go-karts and, you know, shuffleboard. We played a lot of shuffleboard on that cruise that was cold because that's about the only thing we could do. And, you know, it's a putt-putt golf. And some ships have go-karts and, you know, all these things. They have shows and all these things. So there's all these things that a cruise ship offers. And the passengers, they can go if they want to, or they can just sit on the deck and sun themselves, whatever they want to do. People go on a cruise to get away from responsibility. And a cruise is an ideal environment to do that. And ultimately, a passenger is going to judge a cruise based on their preferences. Did they enjoy the shows? Were they engaged? Were they entertained? Did the cruise meet all of my expectations? And again, cruise churches make great vacations. They really do. But that is not how the church is to operate. Cruise ship churches tend to be internally focused on the needs of the regularly attending members. The main goal of these churches, as on a cruise ship, is to keep the customer happy, complaints to a minimum. Leaders in a cruise ship church focus on existing members rather than pursuing those who are far from God or encouraging others to do so. In the book, Best Practices of Growing Churches, the author writes this: growing churches are convinced, these are growing churches now, that they are not the target audience. While they admit that change is difficult, and it is, they believe it is worth giving up their preferences to reach new people. Growth occurs when congregations are convinced that the target audience is the unchurched public outside the four walls. They know that their vitality as a church is dependent upon turning the church inside out, giving up their preferences, and making accommodations necessary to reach and retain new people. Congregations have given up, as the author writes, the sin of preferences. Growing churches are focused on those outside of the church. And you know, that's very much a different mentality than a cruise ship church. So if we're not to be a cruise ship church, if we're to be externally focused, then what are we supposed to be? I want to use the analogy that we're called to be an aircraft carrier. I'm going to explain a little bit why. Because we're in war. Number one, we're at war. One of the reasons that God calls us to be an aircraft carrier church is because we're at war. Listen to these verses. Psalm 144:1. Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Or 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of the faith, hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 2 Timothy 2:3. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:10 and 13. Strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on full armor of God. Why in the world would you have to put on armor unless you were in a battle, if you were at war? So put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand ground. So we're at war. The Bible makes that. There are passages that talk about life as war and the war that we are waging against the devil, against our adversary, Satan. We are in a spiritual war. Number one, that's what we're called to be carrier because we're at war. And the second thing is, second reason I believe we should look at ourselves as aircraft carrier or act like that is because everyone on the air has a job to do. And everyone is counting on the person next to them to fulfill their role. The reliance on each other creates a bond that is entirely different than one just based on shared interests or common opinions. In a carrier, the crew is not looking after their own interests. You know, there are different relationships. There are independent relationships. You know, if you have, if you're an independent person, like, you know, I don't need, I'll just take care of myself, you know, I can handle things myself, I'll take care of it, and, you know, that's it. Yeah, I don't need your help, I'll do your thing, you do your thing. There's dependent relationships. In a dependent relationship, I can't do it myself, I need you to do it for me. And we rely on other people to do what we're supposed to do. And neither one of those are good in themselves. Really, what the Bible calls us and what God calls us to be is in interdependent relationships. Meaning, I have a job to do and I need to do it. And I need to do it so that you can do your job. And you need to do your job so that you can do the job. It's like a football team. I think football is an example of this. You know, different positions, right? For a team to be successful, everybody on the team needs to know what their role is. The offensive lineman doesn't have the same job as the receiver, do they? And the wide receiver doesn't have the same job as a linebacker. The linebacker doesn't have the same job as a quarterback. If they were all trying to do the same thing, it would be mass chaos, and they wouldn't be very successful. So they wouldn't move the ball down the field. I have a job to do. On a football team, they all have a job to do. And what success of the team as a whole is dependent on everybody doing the right tackle needs to do his job. He can't do the center. He can't do the job of the receiver. He needs to do his job. It's the same in the church. We all have a role to play. We all have a job to do. God has created us. When we accept him, he has given us gifts. And we use those for the good of the church and serving others. Churches that function like aircraft carrier are designed to empower all members. And when I say members, I don't mean those, you know, stood members of the church, the local church. When it's talking about members here, it's talking about those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And churches that function like aircraft carriers are designed to empower all members, all believers, and their God-given purpose in life, to equip them and to send them into missions in the world to those who don't know Jesus. That's why I like aircraft carrier. I said, you know, the title says battleship, but I tweaked that to aircraft carrier. An aircraft carrier, it sends, right? It's come fuel, get reloaded with ammunition, missiles, whatever, and then they go and they fight the battle. They get equipped on the ship, and then they go and they fight. That's what church is. You come and you get equipped, you get encouraged, you get strengthened, and then you go out in your lives every day and you live that. And you take the battle to the enemy, and we fight against Satan, against those evil principalities, as we read about. You know, an aircraft carrier is a huge ship. It's about the same. A lot of cruise ships now are about that same size. Hold about 1,000 people on an aircraft carrier. Some, they rise 20 stories above the waterline. If you took a 70-story building and you laid it on the side, that's about the size of a lot of aircraft carriers. They're huge. But what distinguishes an aircraft carrier is not its size. And sometimes in the church, we play that game. Well, if we were bigger, if we had more money, if we had this, it's not about the size. It's about the efficiency in which they land and send airplanes. About every 25 seconds, they launch a plane on an aircraft carrier. All in a fraction of the space of a normal landing strip. The mission, what makes an aircraft carrier so effective, is that the mission pervades every part of the ship, from the pilots to the mechanics, to the person who stops the vending machines. They all have a role, and they all fulfill it. They're all on board. They all have a common mission. They're all fighting for the same thing. Everyone they carry is her particular role, how it supports the mission to prepare, launch, receive aircraft back from crucial science. And that, I believe, is what the church an aircraft carrier clear this the great commandment and the great commission. Cruise ship aircraft carriers do in common, both very large. Have you seen a recently? Have you seen online that they show the Titanic like and they put it a modern day cruise ship? It looks like a Disney almost. They're so small in comparison to today's cruise ships. They are so huge. And of course, aircraft carriers are. They both have a lot of people. They both have a mission to fulfill. It's a different mission, but they both have a mission to fulfill. And when properly equipped, they complete that mission. They fulfill that mission. And when they do, again, when they're properly equipped, they're able to do that and do that well. The question I don't think is what type of ship the church is supposed to be. I think that's kind of clear through Scripture. But this morning, we got to make sure we know what the mission is. If aircraft carrier, if they all have the same mission, that mission pervades every part of the ship, and we're talking about the church being an aircraft carrier, we have to understand what the mission is. And so this morning, what is our mission? First, the commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you all. End of the age. That's a great commission. We're very familiar with that. And then that talks about a couple different things that we're supposed to do in the midst of the church. Therefore, go. We are called to take the good news of the gospel to those who don't know. Shows evangelism. That's one of the church. Disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. It doesn't say go and make converts. It says go and make members. It says go and make disciples. And that in teaching them everything I've commanded you, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, that's all about disciples. It's helping people to grow. We need to evangelize. We need to help them to know Jesus. And then we have to give them the tools to grow in the relationship, to mature and be disciples. That's two of our purposes. The great commandment. Jesus was asked, what of the commandments? What's the greatest? And he loved the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with your strength. And then he said, the second is this. There's one and one A. I mean, they're right there together. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so what do we see in that? We see worship, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's talking about worship. Worship isn't just what we do with a band up here on Sunday mornings. That is worship. And I'm thankful we have such talents, give talents and gifts, lead us in worship. But worship is so much more than that. Worship is how you live every single day. When you be what God wants you to do and to be, that is worship. So we're called to worship, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul. And then the second part, love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about fellowship. Now, fellowship is a really church word. I mean, where else do you hear a church setting? There's only one that I can think of, but it's connected kind of. It's fellowship. CA, okay? You know, that's about it. That's about the only time you'll hear the word fellowship I can think of outside of church. So, you know, Austin doesn't come out of his room sometimes and say, you know, Dad, my friends are getting together a time of fellowship. Can I go to Trent's house and have some fellowship with the guy? Do that, right? So don't use that other than outside of the church. He said, can I go out? Sharing life together. It's involved in each other's lives. Through connect groups and through just getting to know people, spending time with people, worship people, Sunday morning and other times with people. It's fellowship. That's part of what our purpose is. And then there's one more that I want us to look at, and that's from 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts. The same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, the same Lord, different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's talking about spiritual gifts, different kinds of gifts. You and I, the same. That's all part of God's plan. I can meet you can't need the role. I can't. It is all part of God's plan. One part of the body, you know, you're familiar with that. One part doesn't do this, wrong part. No. The body, we all play. And this is talking about those spiritual gifts. And why does God give them? For the common good. To use them, build up the body. We use those gifts and those talents to help us to fulfill mission. And again, evangelism, Bible, worship, fellowship, and ministry. We're not called just to attend church. We're called to serve. When we know what mission is and we can hold it out in front of us, we're consistently reminded of what our mission is. It's true to the mission. It helps us. It's because the church in America, we get distracted what our true mission is. And there's things that the poor devil, this is the work of our adversary who wants to get our eyes off of the mission and be distracted by other things. You want this Tom, he does church research and statistics, surveys, and those types of things, and he's a very famous author. On his website, he has a list of church arguments, and churches have gotten into these arguments. Let me share a little bit with you. They're fun and incredibly sad. There was an argument at one church, a very strong argument, appropriate of the worship pastor's beard. That's right. That's kingdom stuff, right? 45-minute argument. Board had a 45-minute heated argument for what type of filing cabinet to purchase. Black or brown? Two drawers? You know, again, I'm being sarcastic. This is important. Right? Church got in a fight over which picture of Jesus hanging in the foyer. I took the picture. That's that's where I. There was an argument for what green beans the church should serve. Jeff turns in with, he said, it'd be easy to green beans, right? The argument, the church had an argument. People got mad. People left the church because the church should allow deviled eggs at their church meal. Not making this up, I promise you. Church, the dispute, the church should allow people to wear t-shirts because, as we all know, it's the color of the devil. Now, I'll be honest with you, black was the devil. I thought it was red because you know, where's the red card with the tail, right? Perfect sense. Ohio State's red. North State and Ohio State right there. That makes sense. I thought it was the color of... I'm going to talk about that later. These issues are silly, right? They're absurd, right? Yeah. This is stuff, and that's a small, there was a lot others. There were a lot of others. I just picked a few. The church in America were distracted. It doesn't sound like an aircraft carrier. Where everybody, the mission pervades everything we do. We're focused on what it is God has for purpose, or what God has intended for. According to LifeWay Research Study, in the next 7 years, 55,000 churches in the United States will close. The number of those that on the weekend will drop from 17% to 14%. Listen to this. 20% of churches in the United States are growing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I read that thought, well, that seems hot, to be honest. I kept reading then, and it said, only 95% of 20% growth. Take 20% of churches growing. 95% of that growth is not. It's just people switching. They get their feathers ruffled. Go to other churches. That's 95% of the churches in the United States. It's not new converts. Only 1% of churches in the United States are reaching new people who are lost to the good news of the gospel. Can you say this? Can you say we've forgotten our mission? Lord, help us. Really believe a fundamental shift in how we see, how we as God's people see and think about the church. We got to stop thinking about the church, the cruise ship, and really think about it as an aircraft carrier. That needs to be our approach. And let me just compare and contrast here a little bit. Cruise ship, it's all about the passengers, right? Hassle-free, pampering. We love that on a vacation. That's great. On an aircraft carrier, it's all about the mission. Victory, the only thing that matters. On a cruise ship, people are on vacation. On an aircraft carrier, people are serving. A cruise ship brings temporary happiness to the flesh. On a carrier, it brings joy. Because when you know you've been accomplished a mission, man, that brings fulfillment like nothing else will. On a cruise ship, the staff is there to meet the needs, the wants of the passengers. On the aircraft carrier, the staff is there to meet the needs of the unchurched. It's a mind shift from us to them. What is our preferences? What is it that we want? How do we want church to look? Willing to say, forget that. What is it going to take to reach them? And I'm not talking about compromising the message. Understand that. I'm not talking about watering down the gospel. We call things that are sin not sin, and we call things that aren't. And say, yeah, I'm not talking about compromising the message. I'm talking about the method. I'm talking about the way we do things. If we're not unwilling to do that, if we're not willing to change that mind shift from us to them, what's it going to take to reach them? Then I think we're in trouble as a church. On a cruise ship, the ship, the crew is there to entertain. The aircraft carrier, the crew is there to equip for warfare, to train for warfare. On a cruise ship, it's all about comfort. On an aircraft carrier, have you ever seen the bunks? Corey, you were in the Navy, correct? Trains? Ever on a ship? What are the beds like? You know, big, I don't know how much room staff have each other. I talked to them beforehand, but yeah, they're not big. They're a king-size bed or a king-size bed. You know, the amenities, you know, probably not a mattress on that, right? It's all, you know, in the done. It's about the comfort of the crew. On a cruise ship, people are there for the ride and to be served, to be waited on. The aircraft exists to serve and deploy. Because we need to equip, right? We need to train people. We need to help be ready to do and carry out the mission that God has given them. And they need to serve, but they also have to deploy. Because of, you know, if the ship comes in or the aircraft comes in and lands and they refuel and they make sure that it's in operational form, it's good to go, and they, you know, load ammunition and everything, but it just sits on the flight deck, it's not going to do anybody any good, is it? We got to deploy. We got to send. If it's about common interest, I like the beach, warm weather. I want to go to Belize or wherever. On an aircraft carrier, it's all about common mission. Again, working together, serving together to accomplish the mission. On a ship, you have to ask to come back. So our cruise that we went on, the cold one, that was with Carnival, and then two cruises we've done with Cruise Line, and then a week by that I don't receive something in the mail from Norwegian Cruise Lines wanting me to come back. You know, and two cruises, I got a sale going on, whatever. And that's just what I get in the mail. I get several emails every week, you know, about, oh, hey, don't forget, time's running out. You need to sign up. You know, it's like they're begging me to come back. And I think sometimes we do that too. We have to do that. Won't you come back? Won't you get involved? Won't you serve? And an aircraft, he asked, you just report for duty. We need to be aircraft carrier. I think for too long, many have considered the church like a ship. And if you don't experience the shift that I'm talking about, and the shift in the mindset of cruise ship, aircraft carrier, I've got to be honest, I don't like the future of the church. I don't think it's good. I know that God's going to win. He has already won. The battle is won. But we have to we're going to play. What part is the First Church of Nazarene going to play in accomplishing God's victory? Are we going to be around in 5 years? Are we around in 10 years? Because we don't make this shift, I don't know. Just being honest with you. I don't know. We have to make this mind shift. We have to consider ourselves an aircraft carrier. We have to be all on board. One mission, working, serving, do that. God wants more church attendance. We're not, we're called to serve. And that time, our gifts, means our talents, and it means our money. We are called to serve. We've been here about 12 and a half years at this church. Prior to here, we were in Roseville, Michigan, Metropolitan Church of the Nazarene. I was there for about 2.5 years. And we were only there at this point about 4 months, 4 or 5 months. And we had a membership Sunday. We were in members. That morning, the pastor, like we do, you know, had the people come up and stand, and they made a commitment to the church. And there was about new members that we were in the morning. And so we did members, and they sat down, we sang. The pastor got up and was preaching from Isaiah. Preaching on who will go, who can I send? And at the end of the sermon, the commitment was this. He said, you're willing to do whatever it is that's needed to help this church go forward and fulfill its mission. I just want you to stand. And people stood. But I looked around that morning. And of those 12 members that we took in that very morning, there was a handful of them that didn't stand. And it ticked me off, to be honest with you. You know, this is about 15 years ago, and it still ticks me off. I want to say, why did you stand and make a commitment that you're going to be, you're going to fulfill what God called us to do, and then you're not going to stand and say, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me? What's the point? You know, there's not perks when it comes to church membership. You know, it's like you get a Rolls Royce or a pink Cadillac. There's really not a lot of perks to being a church member. I believe in church. I think it's important. But it's not like a lot of perks to it. You get to vote in church elections and things. But, you know, so there's that. But there's responsibility with church membership. God has called us to serve. And if you're going to stand before the church and say, I'm willing, and you make that commitment, then by God, you ought to make that commitment. You ought to. It made me so angry. And I wanted to do this. I'd only been there a few months. But I wanted to walk up to those certificate of membership. Why? That's really what I wanted to do. I think that we ought to do this. The general church does not look very favorably on this. I really think we ought to do this. I think every year we ought to go through the membership roll and make some edits. And it's not a punishment. I don't like that. You know, I don't get back at anybody like that. But I really believe that membership ought to be something. We ought to go through the roles. And I don't know if you've seen online recently, there was a Baptist something that sent a 55-year-old, you know, senior citizen this letter saying she'd been removed from their church roles. And people on there just blasted the church and stuff. First of all, I'm sure it was an accident. I'm sure this was a 95-year-old lady. I'm not saying we should do that. I think we ought to look at the roles and say, hey, you know what? These people really aren't serving the church. We need to take their name off or find out why. Again, the general church doesn't look favorable on that, so we probably wouldn't do that. But I just think that that's something we ought to do. The Dallas Cowboys, I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy fan, and they have a coach's room where the coaches meet every week, and they plan and talk about the previous game and all that. But on the wall of this meeting room, they have this phrase that I really like. It says, you get what you demand, you encourage what you tolerate. You get what you demand, you encourage what you tolerate. And I think that we ought to look at that in terms of the church. I think we need to expect more. I think we need to raise the bar of expectation. I don't think it should be like a cruise, having to beg people to come back and be involved. God has called us to serve. God has called us to use the gifts and talents that he's given us. And if we're not doing that, then we're not obeying God. I think we tolerate too much. And let's be honest, it's a voluntary organization for the most part. So we've got to be careful. We don't want to step on toes. But in a cruise ship, you know, they're there to kind of put out problems, to entertain people, and have as few complaints as possible. That's not the role of an aircraft carrier. We got a mission to do. We got to do it. It's not, you know, let's not be so afraid to step on toes. It's not that we go out seeking to step on toes or offending people. I'm not talking about that. We do what we do in love, with Christ's love. Absolutely. But we need to be serious about this commitment, this mission that God called. So this morning I just asked, why are we here? Why are you here? I say you because we have to answer this individually. Why are you here? To be entertained, to be a part of a cruise ship, or to serve? I really believe that the pastor's responsibility is to equip and then send. That's what we need to do as a church. I pray that every time you come to church, you leave here better equipped to live as a Christian, to lead others to Christ. That is the role. That is what we're supposed to be doing. The biblical role of the church is to connect people to God and to others, to help grow through discipleship, and then equip and deploy them to serve. I really believe that. As a church, we've adopted a new vision statement. You'll be hearing about this more next week and over the next few weeks. Pastor Fred, next week, can begin preaching about this new vision. And I'm just going to sum it up for you. I don't want to steal any thunder. But connect, grow, serve. You're going to be hearing a lot of those words. We're going to be hearing a lot about that. Because that is our mission. You're going to see it visually. You're going to hear it a lot. As the gift, we're going to hold it out in front of you. This is what we're called to do. We believe that this is what we are called to do. Connect people to God and to one another. To our relationship through discipleship. We're going to start a series of classes on discipleship. We want to do a better job of discipling. And then we're also in part of a series of teaching discipleship series. It's all about spiritual gifts and deploying, sending. Because we really believe this is what God has called us to do, connect, grow, and serve. And so you'll be hearing a lot about that over the next few weeks. Pastor Frank will begin preaching on this next week. And you're going to see some changes around here physically to the building. We want to do some things. But it really, we can change the mission statement all we want. It's just words until we start living it out. If we're going to be effective bringing out this change, then we have to make this mind shift. To go from cruise mentality to an aircraft carrier. I've got a job to do. And if I don't show up and if I don't do my job, that doesn't, it's not just one hole. It affects everybody. Can I tell you, we need you. As a church, we need you. We need people to stand up, step up, use the gifts, use the talents to give. We have to do this. We are not, excuse me, we are not going to be able to fulfill that God has called us to fulfill if we don't. We need you. We need all of us. Like I said, interdependent relationships. I need you to do your job so I can do mine. And I need you to do my job so you can do yours. We're together. We're part of a team. I really believe the church is a family. And we've got to be there for one another. We've got to lift one another up. We've got to serve. There are some people in this church who are doing so much right now. I'm just waiting for them to crash and burn, you know, because it wears you out. That shouldn't be. I really believe this. Really believe. That God won't call us to do something unless the people to lead it. I firmly believe that. But sometimes people don't obey. And we try to do this anyway. And so then there's, you know, people trying to do this and this and it's too much. It wears on you. You do it because, man, you love the church and you love God and you want to do it. But I'm telling you, it wears on you. That's not what we're called to be. On an aircraft carrier, you don't have 10 people trying to do all the jobs. I mean, can you imagine the cook trying to fly an airplane? It'd probably be a good thing, right? God's given you a specific role. It's not to say, well, I want that role. No, God gives you the role. And you are just faithful and you live that out. And you serve and you use that. I really believe that this is what God wants us to do. I believe the future of this Springfield Church of Nazarene depends on this. I really do. I don't say that lightly. I really do. We need to take ownership of the church. The mission, God's mission, it's not ours. We don't come up with it. It's from God's word. But God's mission needs to pervade everything. It needs to be the driving force of everything we do. And if something doesn't fit, well, we stop. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but this is called us to do. So let's do this to the best of our abilities. Let's do this with holy abandonment. Let's put half into it. Follow. We do that. And I believe this also, that our best days as a church are not behind us, they're in front of us. I believe that. But it will take us being committed to the mission and carrying out the mission. This morning, I just want to close in prayer. We're not saying, but I want to do this. I want to ask you to stand if you're willing to do whatever you can help this church grow and go forward in serving the mission that God has for us. And I don't want you to stand because the person next to you stands. I don't want you to stand because you think that's what you ought to do. I mean, I think it would be better for you to just stay seated than to stand and not live that out. I believe that. I believe that's scriptural. So this morning, I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you're at. If you're willing to make that commitment, go stand. I really believe, as I said a moment ago, every person here standing and lives this out and does follow through, I firmly believe with all my heart that our best days are ahead of us as a church. And I am excited. I'm so excited to see that happen. Aren't you? But it's going to take every one of us that are standing. Really is. We have to do our part. We have to play our role. We have to be willing to serve. And if we do that, we keep that mission ahead of us, before us all the time, then, man, God's going to do things in us and through us. I really fully believe that. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time that we could be together this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father God, that you would help us, each and every one of us, to be true to the commitment that we made this morning. For each person that stood, I pray that you would reveal to us what it is that you'd have us. We're not called to do everything. You have a role for us. You have given us gifts. You've given us talents. Help us to be fulfilled in fulfilling that, Father. We don't have to do everything. That seems overwhelming, and it is. So help us to be true to what you've called us to do. And then, Lord, I pray that as we seek you, we seek to fulfill the mission that you've given to this church, that you bless it and you would bring about a great harvest, Father God. I pray we'll have to go to multiple services because we can't fit everybody in here, Father. I believe that's possible. I believe you want to do that. And it's not for numbers' sake. It's so that we're reaching people and we're helping people to come to know you as Savior, that we're preaching truth and gospel and the people, Lord God. That's what excites me. So, Father God, I pray that you would accomplish this according to your will and in your time. But, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to serve. Help us to have the aircraft mentality, Lord. We're going to do whatever it is you've called us to do. Whether anybody else is or not, we're going to be faithful. We're going to serve. Thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.